Hey, it's Tess Green, and this is We Are All Stories. Before we start today's episode, we have a little bit of housekeeping to do. We are getting close to the end of the season of Series 1, which is really exciting. And in a couple episodes, literally a couple episodes, so in 2 weeks from now, we'll be having an end of season podcast. So that's where I will be going through the major themes that were brought up, fun points, favorite characters, etc. And I have this poll on my website, so if you go to testgpodcast.com, there is a end of series one poll. So if you can please vote on your favorite characters, your favorite lines, etc. And send me, or tweet, Instagram, etc., anything. Any information you want me to bring up, any questions you have over the series, any points you'd like to bring up, I love your input, and I kind of want this to be a communal effort, so please bring me all your thoughts so I can bring them up and we can discuss them. Also, after that episode, I will be taking a couple weeks off so that I can regroup after Series 1 and prepare a little bit fuller for Series 2. So I will be putting a schedule up on my website, so again, testgpodcast.com, and I'll have my schedule for Series 2 and the rest of Series 1, so you guys can know what's happening, just so everything's clear. Alright, so let's get into the details of this episode. So this is Series 1, Episode 11, Boomtown. This was written by Russell T. Davies and directed by Joe Ahern. And I'm so sorry, I have butchered his name all season. I thought it was an M, but it's an RN. So it's Joe Ahern. And this original air date was June 4th, 2005. Now we have the wonderful Christopher Eccleston as the Doctor and Billy Piper as Rose Tyler. And this episode we also have John Barrowman again as Captain Jack Harkness and Noel Clark as Mickey Smith. And then we also have Annette Badland as Margaret, our lovely Celine today, which is just great. So awesome. This episode is actually really good, really well written. I enjoyed it. Had a good, strong storyline plot. Brings up a lot of, like, philosophical and moral questions, a lot about morality. So I really do enjoy that. I enjoy how it furthers people's relationships, and it carries us on, because next episode, so next week, is the finale, well, two-part finale anyways, of the series. So this episode, it really carries us to there, but it's also has its own footing. I really enjoyed that. Alright, into the episode. So we see the previous episode, which is previewing Aliens of London and World War III. So that was quite a while ago in the series. We can see here that there's going to be something happening with these people. Assuming the Slitheen or something that happened in that episode will happen. As it turns out, we do know, because everyone's watched this episode, I assume. it is the Slitheen that are back. But that's a spoiler for this episode. So ignore. So we start with the cold open. And a black screen says 6 months later. So after Aliens of London and World War III, it's been 6 months. And we get this really cool starter shot of this episode. Beginning shot? Opening shot? Anyhow, we get this really cool shot where we are outside a doorway, an entryway, and it's kind of dark, but then you can see this one guy through the door, and we're slowly zooming in. It's actually a really awesome shot. I love these kind of shots. Maybe that'll be one of my points at the end. We'll talk about doorways. Because they happen quite a few times in this episode, actually, which is funny. Didn't even think about that until just this moment. But doorways are big in this episode. You see them quite a few times. Separation and also connection that doorways bring. Interesting, interesting. Anyhow, so that was a really cool shot. We see a gentleman talking to someone, and we just see him, and he's talking about there's something wrong with the design, we have to stop it before it's too late. So it's kind of, oh no, panic already. We're kind of starting to feel like this, something's wrong, the zoom in, the kind of soft music in the background that also helps. It just feels wrong. And then we hear a woman and she's sitting there like, I recognize that voice, I recognize that voice. And then it turns out it's Margaret, one of the Slitheen from a few episodes ago. She seems to be placating him and telling him there's nothing wrong, and to her there's nothing more important than human life. And you can see how to a regular person, everything she says sounds relaxing, like okay, it's gonna be fine. But because we know her, she's choosing her words very carefully, and she does this throughout the whole episode. She is very verbal and manipulative through her words. So it's interesting to see how this happens throughout the whole episode, because she'll say things, and she won't lie. She doesn't lie. She manipulates. So she says, while I'm on this earth, none of my human subjects will die or something, which is kind of a lie, but like, overall, it's like, yeah, well, you're not going to be on the earth when this happens. Like, so little bits of sly wording, conning, that's kind of her character. And you see this quite early on when she pretends to be caring for these people, but then turns out she just doesn't care at all. She makes sure this guy's told no one else about his concerns. We start to see Margaret unzip her forehead, so we know, if you hadn't remembered from the previous or... But like right now, it's starting to come back. Like, oh yeah, these are the people that unzip, that are these weird green aliens. So she's starting to unzip. We see the blue light, which we all know what that is. He keeps talking because he's just looking at the model of the building, a nuclear power plant, I believe, or as we do find out later. And his sad last line is, "Thank goodness we have you, an esteemed leader." And then he turns around and screams, and he's gonna die. Quite sad. That was his last words. His confidence in this woman clearly was going to kill him. Anyhow, so then we go to credits. So quite quick, plethy beginning. It gets to the point. I like cold opens when the main characters aren't in them usually, because I feel like we're interrupting a story that's already started. Our little Scooby gang, as it were, because it kind of is a Scooby gang in this episode, is especially a Scooby gang. Oh, there's one point where they all finish each other's sentences. It's hilarious. I don't know where I was going with that sentence, but great. Scooby. yeah, they're just interrupting the story. That's what I was saying. So story's happening, and they come in partway through and have to fix things. I like those kind of stories. We then come and see Mickey. He's at a train station. He's in Cardiff. He comes and finds the TARDIS. He meets Captain Jack, which is funny. Funny little moment. And we see Mickey bring a passport for Rose. And then you see the really cute moment between the Doctor, Rose, and Captain Jack. They're just so cute. They're like a little band or gang. Like, they're just finishing each other's sentences and they're so hyped on life. They're just like so excited and seem to be having like the best time together. It is literally fantastic. One of the best things. I like how they end up charging the TARDIS on the Rift, which is like a nice callback to Unquiet Dead, which was an awesome episode. It's quite nice callback to that. And I also like it how this makes you feel like the TARDIS is a cell phone. It feels like an iPhone. Like, really cool, way more awesome than an iPhone. But it has that kind of same, oh, I need to go charge it. And I also like how we hardly ever see it charge. I wonder about this. Lots of things come in and out and happen and don't ever happen again, and this is one of them. I don't think in any of the other episodes that they charged the TARDIS. Someone please correct me if I'm wrong. I don't remember it. I mean, I'll have to watch them all again anyways, but if we notice later on that it happens again, let's remember. And we love this moment also when we see Rose, the Doctor, Captain Jack, and Mickey, they all, like, link arms and head off into the city. It's really cute. Kind of, again, the Scooby Gang. They're a group, they're, like, and they're really good energy. They're a good balance for each other. You have different characteristics from each person. I don't know. It's just such a great team. I really enjoy them. So as they're walking off, we switch scenes, and we go and see Margaret, and she's presenting her power plant. Of course, leading with how it's going to bring jobs to Cardiff, because that's what all politicians say. about things that suck. Don't worry about us killing the environment. We're bringing jobs to all the local people. It's always the thing. We see the project is called a Welsh name, which means bad wolf. The doctor will bring it up in a bit. And one of Margaret's lines is, "To the future, believe me, it will glow." So again, she's like hinting quite strongly about the destruction she's going to make. But people don't hear that. They just hear how we're going to have a glowing future, which is a good thing. We meet this girl, the reporter, for like the local Gazette, the Cardiff Gazette or something really small and kind of insignificant. So we see that this girl is kind of insignificant. And we learn about how many people Margaret has been killing, which is no surprise, but they're quite a lot. It's quite a trail of deaths behind this project, and she's not doing very well hiding it. If you're gonna take over the world and kill a lot of people to do so, try to hide your deaths a little bit better. Don't make them so obviously connected to you. It looks kind of like a red flag. And we see that, like, even though this reporter is, Kathy, I believe, is in a small town, kind of like not in a big newspaper. She is quite knowledgeable. She has researched her topic. She knows what she's talking about, even though she might not know everything about nuclear physics. She has researched this topic and does know what to say and what to ask. We see Margaret trying to schmooze her so that she doesn't print anything. And we're, again, in the bathroom, so in a doorway, we have Kathy the reporter, and then Margaret's in the bathroom. And we have this lovely door in between them, so another door reference. And it's quite interesting, this moment of morality. And I do like what the doctor says to her later, but let's go through this part. So Margaret starts to unzip, she's talking to the reporter, and then she learns that the reporter is getting married in a couple weeks. And she's pregnant, and she learns all this about herself, and she stops. So there is something in there that she's an awful person the majority of the time. But there is feelings in there somewhere. So they were squished and they've been mutilated, but they're in there somewhere. She's not 100% a bad person. She might be 95, but there's still that 5% of not a bad person. It is interesting to see that, and this does start to bring up, and you'll see it especially later, when Margaret interacts with the gang, the Scooby gang. We see these questions of morality, and it makes you wonder everything, and it makes you question it, and it makes it really hard, which is why I can never be on a jury, so hopefully never. Yes, and so when we see about the pregnancy and she stops killing her, it's because Margaret is really, really sad and lonely. We then change scenes to the restaurant, where Rose and the doctor and Mickey and Captain Jack are all at. Jack is telling one of his elaborate stories where suddenly he's naked and running across a field, which sounds exactly like Jack, and I don't doubt it for a second that he's naked running across the field. And then we see the doctor see a picture of Margaret as the new mayor, and they head to her office. And again, this is one of those scenes where, like, they are the Scooby Gang. And I know Scooby Gang is from Scooby-Doo and also from Buffy the Vampire Slayer, but it is applicable in this episode. I feel like it's perfect explanation of what they are. We see Jack give a rundown of basically everything we know. And we know that the doctor knows and Rose knows and Mickey knows. So they're all just kind of listening to him for no reason. It's kind of nice, though. It's not. It's a nice refresher for people who don't remember. And then also, it does work with who he is and his personality. It makes sense to the scene. It's not just pure exposition. So that's nice. The doctor looks at him and says, "Who's in charge?" And so Captain Jack's like, "Oh, right. Sorry, Captain. Blah, blah, blah." Got an idea, which is great to see him bow down. But still in like a, you can tell he was a soldier of some type. But then again, the doctor agrees to his plan because it's a good one. And we see the doctor talking to, and we go and see the doctor talking to the receptionist. And here we're at another door, guys. Another door. And he's talking to the receptionist, and the receptionist makes the joke about Doctor Who. It's just always great when they can throw that in. I think they throw them in a few times a season, at least. The receptionist goes in, talks to her. You hear a glass break. He comes back, says, "Sorry, she's not available right now. Maybe next week." He's, and then the doctor's like, "She's ran out the window, hasn't she?" He goes, "Yes." So the doctor runs in, jumps out the window as well, and we see him call the others, and they're all in the chase, which is definitely a Scooby-Doo moment or something, when everyone's on their little adventure to go catch the villain. So everyone's running down the hall, basically doing the same thing. They all jump a hurdle, which is funny and really random. It's like a very typical chase scene, but it's done so well. We then catch up with her, and she teleports away, but the doctor brings her back, and she teleports away again, and the doctor brings her back, and again, and again, and again, and again. Then once we've grabbed her, we're back in her office, and we learn that this nuclear power station is going to be built on the Rift, which means it's not a good thing. It's gonna explode and make the rift open, etc. Then we find out about this cool pan-dimensional surfboard, which is kind of an interesting idea and pretty cool looking. Can you imagine surfing the explosion of a planet? I know that I don't want planets to explode. It's not my idea of fun. But I think that's kind of funny. And this is where we find out about Margaret and how her family was to be executed, like if she's to go back to her planet, her very long titled planet that I cannot pronounce, and I give them props for everyone who can say it. And she's going to be executed when she goes back. So to bring her back to her planet is to bring her to her execution. We then move to the TARDIS. So Margaret is in the TARDIS with everybody now, and she's being very manipulative and making them question their morality because she's making them part of her mistakes. She's making them carry her burden for her. She was the one who did all these things, who was the bad person in these ways. And she's making them be part of that somehow. Just making them feel guilty, like, "You're just as bad as me because you're sending me to my death. You're a murderer too," blah, blah, blah. We see Rose and Mickey talk outside because they just don't want to deal with Margaret anymore. And Rose mentions that she didn't really need her passport, she wanted to see him. And they decide to go out on a lovely little date, which is so sweet. We go back to Margaret manipulating them, and then she asks the doctor to go to dinner with her, and she kind of taunts him into going with her. And then we find out that that Captain Jack has his handcuffs that will make everything okay. And she says this line, which is great. "Dinner and bondage works for me." So now we split into three different groups. We have Captain Jack and the TARDIS working with the cool surfboard thing. We have Rose and Mickey out on their little date, on their little adventure, just as them two. And then we have the Doctor and Margaret going to go eat at that restaurant. So we get a scene with Margaret and the doctor, and she tries to poison him a couple times and it doesn't work because he's pretty smart. But she's slowly manipulating him. She's trying to use everything she has to get out of her situation. So she tries to pretend that she feels guilty. First, she tries to kill him and escape. Then she tries to guilt him by saying she's trying to be better. She's better. She didn't kill that woman. And the doctor says that, like, everybody lets one live. All the murderers let one person live because of fluke. Like, oh, like the wind was a certain way that day, and they save one every once in a while so that their consciences feel okay. And that's quite interesting to think. And it's quite interesting to think that he's so firm on her character. I'm not against it. I'm not disagreeing with him. But it is interesting that he has such a firm idea of her character. And I do like how he points out, you've forgotten that woman you were wearing was a human who you skinned and killed, and you're wearing her body as a suit. So it's like, don't forget, I can never forget what you've done because you're literally in one of your victims. So it is interesting, and that is quite a gross image, and I can't believe now I'm imagining that. It's quite gross. But it is interesting to think that, like, you do these things and you're not a good person all the time, and nobody is, but don't pretend you've completely changed. I don't know. This applies to more than just Margaret. I think this applies to everybody. I just don't know how to make it sound right. But the general idea applies, guys, where you can't hide when you are who you are and it's obvious. What you do and what your choices are, even if you every once in a while deviate from your main life choices, you're on your main life choices. You have to make a big change. You have to do more than just let one person live every once in a while. You have to make a big change. You have to change everything. You have to prove it to people. Prove it to the doctor, guys. That should be your goal. And I know that only sort of made sense, so I apologize. We then go to Mickey and Rose. Mickey tells Rose that he's dating this other girl. Rose is, okay, that's fine. But then later on, Rose blows up at him, and he cries, and he's mad that Rose doesn't care about him and just leaves him behind. We also go to Margaret explaining to the doctor what happens, what their execution's like. She's trying to get pity from the doctor, so she says basically she's boiled like soup, which is another gross image. Thanks, Margaret. And then also, Margaret does another thing. She deflects a lot. She doesn't want to be the only person who is bad. So she pushes it on to everybody else, and not to say that everyone else is innocent, and I know that no one is innocent, but because she's in such a spot, she wants to be better, so to make herself better is to make everybody else worse. So she brings up the doctor's past and how he's just as much of a killer as she is, and in some ways she is correct. I mean, he has killed a lot of people, and a lot of people have died because of him, but they're not the same. She does it for personal gain. He does not do it for personal gain. We then have a moment where the personal relationships are going to be hit by an outside force, as per usual. So we hear some thunder, and it turns into like an earthquake. And we see that the rift is opening above the TARDIS. And Mickey yells out as Rose runs away, "It's always the doctor, it's never me." Which is, come on, Mickey, I get it that she does choose the doctor over you, but read the room. I think I've said that before. So we see there's like big cracks in the earth. There's a big, big problem. Margaret grabs Rose as she runs into the TARDIS, because now we're all back in the TARDIS except for Mickey. She grabs Rose as a hostage. And we learn that the extrapolator was made as an option B, was made to open the rift when it connects to alien tech so that she could still escape. So she had backup plans. But the doctor talks about how she has opened the TARDIS up, and she, like, has opened the soul of the TARDIS. And this is an interesting moment, and this will obviously foreshadow a little bit for the future. But I do like how she connects with the TARDIS. You can see her all lit up, and she says thank you and then falls. And they fix the TARDIS, so they turn it all off and close the rift. And we see that Margaret got turned into an egg, and that they're going to bring her back to her planet. And she gets a second chance, which is really nice. That is a nice, clean way to finish this episode in her storyline, because otherwise it's her going to her death, which is not a very clean ending. Because you see some bits of remorse in her, and it's just hard. It's hard to judge people like that and execute them. It's hard. I don't envy people who do that. It is not the job I ever want to do, to be in charge of who lives or dies. I don't know. I don't know a person's true self on the inside. I don't. We then see Rose run out and go, "Oh no, Mickey," until she runs out. And they don't end up connecting, which is sad. And she steps into the TARDIS and says, "He deserves better." And then the doctor talks about returning Margaret to the planet and saying that she gets a second shot. And Rose says that would be nice. And it's really quite a bittersweet end to this episode. We see how sad it is. I don't know. It just feels really sad for Rose, because she knows that Mickey deserves to have a girlfriend all the time who's there, who cares, and who can be there every day for him, and he doesn't have to wait. So I do understand that. And that is the end of the episode, guys. So that's kind of a quick run through. It wasn't too quick, I guess. This door thing. This was new. I didn't write that in any of my notes, but I noticed when I was talking about it to you guys. I really like that. It's quite interesting. Doorways are a great instrument to use in storytelling. Doors are very interesting. They're very liminal, so like they're the in-between. And they can show a lot. They can show distance. They can show joining. They can show traveling from place to place. The rift itself is a doorway, is liminal, so it's the space in between two worlds. And so it is quite interesting that they've used this doorway throughout the episode. People run in and out of the TARDIS all the time in this episode. I really enjoy that. I enjoy the liminality of this episode. And it's kind of, also if you think about this episode in the season itself, it's the episode in between two major episodes. So it is a liminal episode in itself. I love liminal. Liminal, liminal, liminal. Say that 20 times fast. Anyhow, that's one point that I wanted to make. All of a sudden, I really like the liminality of this episode. Also, pointing out that I really like the lighting. I like how blue represents outer world light. So the TARDIS, the light when she unzips her forehead, etc. Usually otherworldly. I like the Doctor and Captain Jack. They have like this funny little flirtation in the beginning, and it is really good. I like their chemistry. They haven't been best of pals previous episodes, so I do like how it's kind of moved there. It won't really stay there, because the Doctor doesn't really like soldiers. But it's interesting. It's interesting right now. So I like that. I like how Mickey and Rose, how their relationship is. I like how we get a little bit more information. We kind of see the end of the relationship. It does get solidified, I believe, next episode. But this is kind of the end. They've realized they can't be together. This is not healthy for either of them. It's time to move on. Let's be honest. Rose has already mentally moved on. She loves him. He's a great friend. But she's moved on romantically. She flirted with Adam. Then she flirted with Captain Jack. So, that's quite interesting. I like how we have this whole murky morality issues that come up. I like how that's such a great conversation starter. It's very unknown. I don't have answers. And I like that. I like conversations that come up that are just pure debatable. You don't have a right or a wrong. It's murky. It's all gray. 50 Shades, guys. And I also like this idea of second chances. The Doctor does firmly believe in second chances. Or not second chances so much, but he believes in giving somebody a chance. So every time before he kills somebody, they've been horrible. They've done something really bad, they're going to take over the world, etc. He'll always offer to take them to another planet that's uninhabited, that they can live on and create their species. So he always gives them that chance, and I do like that idea of chances. One mistake doesn't make you. If you turn down the offer to turn your life around, then yeah, it's okay, like he can't let that be. But he will give you an option. Because lots of times, people get put into situations and can't see a way out. That's why they are the way they are. That's why they're villains, is because they're stuck in a situation. And Margaret does hint at this. She was raised this way. She was raised to kill. And that's nice that she gets to start again, and maybe with a better family, and maybe doesn't do that. So I like all those discussion and thoughts that I came from with this episode. This episode was actually really good, even though it is really like a nothing episode, kind of. It's very interesting. I do like it. I didn't mention this. The Doctor talks about Bad Wolf in this episode. It's the first time that they've mentioned it. And he talks about it and then, like, shrugs it off. Like, it's not important. He's like, oh, it's like one of those things where you read it once and suddenly everything says it. Which is what's happening, but what do you guys think? Do you think the doctor really suspects that there's an issue, that this is something weird, how it's following them? Or do you think he's just throwing it aside? What are your thoughts? Another thought. Do you think Margaret would have changed without being reborn? I'm not so sure. I think the doctor probably was pretty spot on with his assessment of her. But what are your guys' thoughts? Okay, and my favorite parts. So, my favorite character this episode. Ugh, that one's hard. I really like everybody. I like everyone for different reasons. You know, I kind of like the doctor this episode. He really has a good energy. He was written a little bit differently this episode, and I like that. He banters more with everybody. I enjoy the banter. My favorite part of this episode? I don't know. Gosh, it was actually good, but like nothing amazing stands out to me. I would probably say I have a favorite theme instead of a favorite part. So my theme would be the doorways and the liminality of it. I really enjoyed that. And I really enjoyed that I just figured that out right before, or right as I was saying it. So it wasn't even precognitive. Like, I don't know. It wasn't even thought about before. And then my least favorite part, I don't know, probably when the doctor's gonna get poisoned, like 6 times in a row. I don't love it. I'm not a huge fan of violence, so yeah, I'm glad he caught it and didn't get killed. Yeah. Alright guys, that's the end of that. So I just want to remind you again to please go to tessgpodcast.com and check out my schedule for the rest of series 1 and for series 2, and then also please go and put in your thoughts for the series 1 poll for 2 episodes away so we can have a great conversation there. And I just want to thank you guys so much for all of your support. You guys are fantastic. I appreciate you guys so much. If you could please rate and review on iTunes, I would so appreciate it. Also, please use the hashtag WAASTGP and the handle @TessGPodcasts whenever you tweet, Instagram, Facebook, etc. I need to be able to find your posts in order to respond, so that's super helpful. Also, I do have a Patreon page, patreon.com/TessGPodcasts, and I appreciate any support you can give. I want to continue to make these ad-free, and I also would love to eventually make 2 a week, so any support you can give, I just love. Next episode is the series finale. So we have Bad Wolf and the Parting of the Ways. So episode 12 and 13, because it's a two-parter, of series 1. So that'll be great. Super exciting. Lots of meaty information there. It is written by Russell T. Davies and directed by Joel Ahern. Thank you guys so much for listening and supporting. I love you guys all so much. XOXO. Ciao for now.